You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I'm talking about, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The Final Four is set coming up Saturday evening. You will have UConn going up against Alabama, and then the marvelous story of NC State going up against Zach Edey and Purdue. The man that will be on the call on CBS for the Final Four is Ian Eagle, and Bird is kind enough to join us right now. Ian, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my friend?
Hey, what is up, Z, man? Great to talk to you.
Well, what does this mean to you? I know that you've, right, March Madness, you've always done it. No.
Very much a religious experience for me.
You know what? I think it's the biggest thing you got going on this week, if I'm being honest with you.
100%. I'm on the Zach Gelb Show. It's a Monday. It's the start of the week. It's not going to get any better for me this week.
Well, we've seen some legends recently retire, right? Coach K had to get replaced by John Shire. Nick Saban gets replaced by Kalen DeBoer once Nick Saban retires. Nance walks away from calling college basketball. I know he still does football and the Masters, but now Ian Eagle slides in as the guy for the Final Four. Since that week is here after all the buildup and all the speculation, just what are you feeling going into this week?
Yeah, I mean, I would first say that I'm succeeding Jim. I'm certainly not replacing him. The man did the job for 33 years and was the voice of this event for so long. So many memories are in your brain with Jim's voice on them. So for me, it's just doing what I've been doing. Been calling this event for 26 years, so it's not like I'm coming out of left field. Yeah. This is all new. This is all fresh. It's one more weekend. It's obviously the biggest weekend in college basketball. It's the biggest stage in college basketball. But as far as the approach, the preparation, all of that, the execution, it's all going to be very much the same as I always try to do the job. And now the games are the thing. And if the games are good, then that's what people are going to remember, and that's the hope, that the games are competitive and memorable and fun. And that's the other part, too. I've tried to approach it that way. You know, college hoops is supposed to be fun, and this event is to...
I think we lost Ian there. We'll see if we can get Ian back up as we have a little connection issue with the great Ian Eagle, who will continue to join us here on CBS Sports Radio, coming back in a matter of moments. Good that the connection issue happens now with Ian Eagle rather than coming up on Saturday evening. So we'll try to lock Bird back in as we get set to preview these two games, and then we'll find out who the championship is going to be on Monday night with NC State in their incredible run going up against Purdue, and that matchup between DJ Burns and Zach Edey. And then you have coming up with UConn and Alabama, and can anyone keep it within 10 points of the UConn Huskies going up against the Alabama Crimson Tide, where Alabama showing they're more than just a football school, right? Nick Saban is now out of town, and then, look, the basketball team is in the Final Four. Ian Eagle is back with us. So, Ian, let me just ask you this, because one of the teams you're going to call this weekend is NC State. A big debate has been, is NC State a Cinderella story? How do you view their story and what they've been able to accomplish the last few weeks?
You know, you talk to them, Zach, and they don't see themselves as Cinderella, so I respect that philosophy from them. But they have a lot of Cinderella attributes. This team went 4-10 at the end of the regular season. They lost four straight to wrap up their season before hitting the ACC tournament. They are under 500 in their conference. They are the first team to go to the Final Four under 500 in their conference since Virginia in 1984. That just doesn't happen. At least you play 500 ball in your conference before you start thinking about making a run in the NCAA tournament. So all the things that you would look for in a Cinderella are there, but they're from the ACC. They've won national championships before. They are a major program. That's why it's hard to put them in that category and give them that tag, and then it sticks no matter what. They don't view it that way.
Take us a little bit behind the scenes. This men's tournament going in, a lot of people said there wasn't a lot of stars compared to the women's tournament. An unexpected star has emerged in DJ Burns as everyone's rooting for him. Take me through your interactions with him over the weekend.
He's jovial. He brings a lot of smile and he exudes personality because it's real. And I think this team has found something based on the way that they play. They are having legitimate fun in this tournament. And there's not always a cause and effect, as we know. There can be a seriousness to this event and the pressure and the angst. And I know they aren't necessarily saying this, but there is a general feeling around the program that everything now is gravy. They've done everything far surpassing what anyone expected. So if this team were to keep on winning and write this story of being Destiny's darling, you can see it. You can start visualizing it. 1983, you're a young man, Z. I was around in 1983. I vividly remember NC State and how that gathered momentum. Now, they were banged up that year. They had finally gotten a hole, and everything came together at the right time. And for anyone that is too young to remember 1983, just go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Watch some of that game against Houston. Watch the ending of the game. You want to talk about a miracle finish. That might have been the greatest ending in college basketball history, and then the indelible image of Jim Valvano running around just trying to find somebody to hug in celebration. There are genuine feelings and connections to this program this year, considering the fact that Kevin Keats was probably getting fired. It triggered a two-year extension in his contract. All of them were dismissed. They were forgotten about, and here they are in the Final Four.
Talking Iron Eagle right now. Duke in the second half, they had that 27-21 lead. And I don't want to take away anything from NC State because they were remarkable yesterday, especially the big fella and DJ Burns. Mm-hmm. But was Duke just not ready? They get tight in the moment, or it just happens that some teams come out from halftime, even with a trip to the Final Four on the line, and they were just flat?
Yeah, and I think familiarity actually hurt them in this particular instance. The fact that NC State was not intimidated by the idea of playing Duke or feeling as if the world was against them in some way. If anything, it seemed to go the other way. Whatever the swing vote was inside the arena in Dallas seemed to favor NC State as they were starting to find their rhythm.
I think we lost Ian again, so having trouble connected with Ian Eagle, some phone connection issues, not the end of the world. Hopefully we can get him back up for a few more minutes. If not, we will continue to muscle through on this Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio as you have this great story of NC State and just really incredible what they've been able to do. I think they are Cinderella. I get it. When you're in the ACC, it's tough to claim that you are a Cinderella team, but that's where we are with this team now, and they're going to be in a Final Four game coming up on Saturday evening where they're going up against Purdue, and it's really the two biggest stars of the tournament from a recognizable standpoint. And Zach Edey is a back-to-back National Player of the Year, and then the sensational play of DJ Burns. So let's try to connect with Ian Eagles back with us one more time. And Bird, let's just advance to the NC State Purdue game that's coming your way, and you're going to be on the call for it on Saturday. I think the biggest thing to watch is going to be how the fouls are going to be able to be called, and if the referees have a quick whistle, if they're going to let these guys play for the game that you have on Saturday.
Zach, I took a two-day trip to Bolivia, and we got very bad service here. I have no idea why this is happening. Yeah, you're right. Obviously, everybody's focused on Edey and Burns and a heavyweight battle between those two. Edey's been a dominant force. You saw his reaction with Evan Washburn at the end of the game against Tennessee. He is in complete serious mode. He's all business right now. And I feel as if he is on a mission, a personal mission. But you compare that and the dynamic now of DJ Burns and how he is comporting himself and how he's carrying himself and how NC State is carrying itself. It's really interesting. I do think there was a release of some sort from Purdue to get to the Final Four. After 2 years ago, a game that Jim Spanarkle and I worked against St. Peter's, they got knocked out in the Sweet 16. Last year, FDU in the first round. So all of that builds. It builds around your program. It's talked about. You hear about it. You see it on social media. I don't know if you felt it, but I did in watching some of the reaction last night. It just felt like they needed this. The program needed it, and Zach Edey needed it individually.
And I wonder, because we started the show off with that today, it's like it feels like they have survived the demons from a year ago, but I still feel as if they need to get to the championship game, because I'd be curious what the reaction would be if they did lose to NC State coming up on Saturday night. Like, if they lose to UConn on Monday, I don't think they get slammed for it, but losing to NC State, even with their great run, I wonder how many people would do a 180 on Purdue.
Yeah, I see your point, and I could see how it would be portrayed that way. I think no matter what, the fact that Matt Painter got to the Final Four, that Zach Edey got to the Final Four, there is something to be said for that, for handling themselves, for navigating their way through this tournament, in the end playing at a high level. They didn't soft-shoe their way through it. But once you're there, you want more. You want it all. Purdue has a chance to win the whole thing. I know UConn has looked dominant. They've looked like a juggernaut. They look unbeatable right now. But if you're Purdue, that's not what you're focused in on. You've got a matchup against NC State. You have a chance to end their magical run and a chance to prolong your season and maybe write yourselves into history. Zach Edey is going to go down as one of the best college basketball players of all time, just strictly from a resume standpoint. He's going to win National Player of the Year, back-to-back years. He's putting up monster numbers, and his team is in the Final Four. There is validation when your team has that kind of success as well.
For you, what's the biggest storyline in Alabama and UConn?
Biggest storyline is whether or not Alabama can hang. Honestly, because I had UConn and Brooklyn the first two rounds. They obviously plowed through the competition with Stetson and Northwestern, and then continuing with San Diego State. And that run, bridging the end of the first half into the second half, was one to behold. You just don't see 30-0 runs. Maybe in a 1-16 matchup where a team is just so physically imposing compared to the other team. But to do it against an Illinois squad that has a bunch of dudes on it, to change the whole complexion of the game and to remind everybody that they're the defending champions. And, Zach, I don't know how you feel about it. I think this year's team is actually better. It doesn't guarantee the championship. They're a better basketball team this year than the one that won the title last year.
And you know what's crazy? I don't even think they played that great in this tournament. They're still beating every team by 20 points. Like, against Northwestern, they shot the ball horribly. And they still blew out Northwestern. It was crazy to see. So, last thing I'll ask you, Ian Eagle, before we let you run. I have a viral moment idea for you at the Final Four. Would you at least be taking some requests on this? Just wondering.
I'm not Casey Kasem, but sure. Why not? We'll take some requests.
So, DJ Horn to DJ Burns. Mm-hmm. I think what you need to work in is a little Lil Wayne line reference of, go DJ, because that's my DJ. Go DJ, because that's my DJ. I think if you drop a Lil Wayne reference in this week, it will be very popular online.
You realize that Grant Hill did that in the Sweet 16.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
I thought
I was rocking and rolling after sending you a little Rihanna suggestion yesterday that you ended up using. I thought I was revolutionary here. Grant Hill already beat me to the punch. Are you kidding me?
Come on, we got Grant Hill, Bill Raftery, Tracy Wolfson. I mean, we've got this thing covered. I feel very confident that we've got it covered.
Man, so now you'd just be plagiarizing if you ended up using
that line. I'm not a plagiarizer.
Oh, man, my week just got ruined. I thought I had this great idea. I was doing my best thinking in the shower earlier today. We're going to get Ian Eagle to go viral at the Final Four. It's going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
Now I'm just out of ideas. This is just terrible.
And thank you for leaving me with that visual at the end of our phone call.
Yes. You know what? Now I think you will intentionally have your phone line drop on this conversation. The great Ian Eagle. Ian, have a great call coming up on all three of the games over the two on Saturday and the one coming up on Monday. Thank you.
All right, brother. Zach, always great to talk with you, man. I'll make my way back from vacation and fix my phone lines ASAP.
You got it. Thanks so much. That SOB Grant Hill. Man, I've always respected him. Always respected him. I can't believe he used that. I haven't seen that call anywhere on social media. By the way, my singing is atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. The way that I thought I was going to be able to sing that lyric of Go DJ sounded a lot better in my head until I actually said it on the radio.
Yeah, that sounded bad.
Like, tone deaf.
Yeah,
it was cringe. I heard the cat screaming in the background.
When you're singing the Brown song,
yeah.
All
here
for
we
it.
Go, Brown.
Yeah, that guttural football. But what you were just trying to pull with Lil Wayne, that might be a retirement for that one.
Yeah, I showed my whiteness there, is what Sam is trying to say.
I didn't want to say it.
I can't believe Grant Hill said that in the Sweet 16. Man, I guess they use a lot of DJ puns. A lot of DJ puns.
I mean, you're on the air for about 2 hours for each game. You got to do a lot of pregame, postgame. There's a lot of DJ stuff you got to get into.
Yeah, but that is a true story. I did a text line yesterday during the game, and I said you got to play a little Rihanna. Well, do a little Rihanna.
Just for the record, while we were on the phone before the interview started, I said, I just want to make sure that you know that Zach had nothing to do with me saying that line. I had that in the mind, ready to go.
All I'm going to say, when we look at the text messages and we go back to my exchange with the great Ian Eagle during the game, too. Ian Eagle, when I sent him the song and I said, you got to drop a Hey Mr. DJ, he did send me a pound with the music emoji. And then a little over an hour and 10 minutes later, he used it. And I texted him back, that was amazing. And he goes, you bet. So there we go. Man, Grant Hill. I don't like Grant Hill anymore. Just ruined my moment that I thought I was going to have with Ian Eagle.
You know how you're going to have to resolve this.
I have to come up with another pun that's already been
used? Well, no. A, you have one of two options. Either A, fight Grant Hill out in Arizona.
At the Final Four? Oh, yeah. That wouldn't work well for me.
Or just call the next Final Four. You know, just tell Ian that you want to sit in for him. And you can do the Final Four. It'd be great.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm just, you could say whatever you want there. I'm heartbroken there. I felt like I just got the big moment, the big opportunity, and I just messed it all up. Anyway, we'll take a time out here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll see how I embarrass myself when we return. Nick Pringle of the Alabama basketball team. He's playing for a spot in the national championship game on Saturday night. He'll join us. Roll Tide coming up after these short messages. Alabama off to its first ever Final Four. They took care of Clemson over the weekend, and a big reason why they're off to the Final Four is because of their big man, Nick Pringle, who was phenomenal in the game, 16 points and 11 rebounds, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Nick, first and foremost, congratulations. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think things are going pretty well right now for you.
Yeah, things are going, pretty well. I'm very, happy with the progress we made throughout the season. It's been a really big time. We ask God, for the prayers, for the support, through everybody throughout the season. We had a lot of ups and downs, adversity. We still grinded it through, and that's what it's all about. March is the most important, month in college basketball, and that's what we showed up for. So. We want to continue it through the rest of April and make the most of it.
When you first hear that Alabama is going to the Final Four and you've had a few days for it to marinate and really process, just what comes to mind when you realize this dream is a reality and come Saturday evening, you guys are going to have that ball tipped up and you guys are going to try to go play for a spot in the national championship game?
Yeah, man. All you can think about is, all the legends that came through here, all the greats that came through here, that tried to get to this point. It's so surreal that, we were the team to, ultimately, reach the Final Four. We don't want to stop here. We got a lot of people, behind us. We got a lot of people, wanting us to have this ultimate success for each other. So it's great, just to be in this predicament, Alabama, historically being, a football school, it's traditionally, it's growing like throughout every sport in the school campus. So it's really great just to be a part of something, this awesome. I mean, having a locker room full of guys like that, it's really unbelievable. It's a great feeling. The coaching staff that we have, we're surrounded by so many smart guys that know what they're doing, that sets the right game plans for the time being. I mean, it's really, a dream come true.
Yeah, I saw a shot, a photo of you and Nate Oates having an embrace after the game in the locker room. I've been a fan of Nate Oates. When he was the coach of Buffalo, he joined us on this show. Just how do you kind of describe your relationship with Coach and what he's done for your career?
Man, it's really good, man. I'm not going to lie. I mean, yeah, it may not seem like that to the media, but it's really great. I mean, he really, builds me up to be a man. I mean, on and off the court. I mean, he challenged me to be a leader all the time. And that's, I think all of those stepping stones and the adversity we went through early in the season prepared me for this moment. So, you know, now that things got hard, you know, on the court, I mean, I'm able to, you know, bring the team together while controlling myself. It's really, you know, it's a lot of thanks to him. I mean, he challenged me a lot. I mean, it just prepared me for a lot of these great moments that we're going to face here soon.
Nick Pringle here with us from Alabama. They're off to the Final Four. You talked about the adversity, right? Injuries. And then also this team towards the end of the season was not winning a lot of games, but you guys were able to flick the switch when it mattered the most. And you guys were backed into a corner, and all you've done ever since is won in this NCAA tournament. How did this team get things moving back in the right direction to secure a spot in the Final Four?
Honestly, just, you know, carried a lot of things with a tent, you know. So, you know, after that Florida loss in the SEC tournament, you know, we just kind of dropped that. We didn't even watch film on it. Like, we just, you know, dropped that, say 0-0, 0-0 on the season. It's about who won it more. March, you know, March, like I said, March is, you know, the most important, you know, month in basketball. So, you know, we wanted to just put our heads down, you know, block out all the outside noise and lock in for each other and for ourselves. You know, we carried, you know, a word named Mudita, that's vicarious joy, you know, for everybody amongst each other. And that's what we've been doing. It's been really, you know, beneficial to the team. You see guys, you know, building confidence within each other. And it's really been really, like, big time for this team. Like, confidence is something, you know, a lot of the guys needed. And, you know, for example, like, seeing, you know, Jaren Stevenson, you know, airball like three threes and still have the night he had, like, that's ultimate confidence. Like, you can't take that from anyone. And, you know, that's something that you try to, you know, vocalize and build throughout the team to ultimately get everybody to play that full 40 minutes at their, you know, highest level. So, I mean, I feel like we're close. And in these next two games, I feel like we'll really get there.
How about what you were able to show in that second half with the spot in the Final Four up for grabs? I know you're dealing with the heel injury. You're wearing the walking boot. But, man, I thought you were the most dominant player down the stretch in that game. Just what got into you in the final 10 minutes or so?
It's really, you know, credit to, you know, our athletic trainer for, you know, getting me back to even be able to go out there and do that. But, you know, ultimately to my teammates for, you know, pushing me and motivating me, still sticking with me, you know, knowing that I'm going through this pain. It's really all for them, and it's always been for them, you know, never, you know, no matter the circumstance or anything going on. I mean, I just, you know, always wanted to go out on the court and do it for a brother. And I mean, I feel like that's what I've been doing lately. And, you know, ultimately seeing the goals for everybody around me is similar to mine. So, I mean, just to reach that task with everyone else, I mean, it'll mean the world to me.
Where is your health at right now? How would you kind of describe how you're feeling, Nick Pringle?
You feel my help?
Yeah.
Really, I just try to, you know, bring the energy, you know, whether it's on the court, off the court, you know, like I said, like, I mean, I wasn't gonna let anything hold me out this game, you know, no matter how I feel. I mean, this is a, you know, sometimes it's a once in a lifetime, you know, moment. So, you know, just being able to be out there with my teammates, give it all I got, no matter, you know, how hurt I am, how I'm feeling or anything, being able to give my energy and have, you know, guys on the bench to come off the bench and, you know, contribute as well as if I was on the court as well. I mean, it's just amazing to have a team, a staff, you know, placed together to do these, you know, extraordinary things. I mean, it's awesome to see the, you know, the Oak Tree and, you know, see, you know, his coaches, you know, go off and be head coaches, be successful where they are. And, you know, this everything around here, man, it's just very traditional. And I mean, it's something to love.
I know you guys are going to be confident, as you should. You know you're going up against such a tough team, the best team in the country in UConn. You tell me why you guys can not only hang with them, but why you guys could find a way to defeat UConn and go off to the national championship game.
I think, you know, like I said, you know, we have a great bond of coaches. Like, our coaching staff is, man, it's unbelievable, man, what they've been able to do, you know, just to put, you know, things together for us to be able to stop teams, you know, playing the way we play, while just adjusting our defense a tad bit, just throwing different looks at guys, you know, playing fast, you know, not hanging our heads when guys score, getting right back in transition and hitting one back. I mean, it's just been, you know, unbelievable about the confidence that they've been giving us, you know, to go out there and perform the way we are, you know, the shape we are in, you know, how hard we're able to play. You know, a lot of people been calling us frail, soft, and things like that. You know, we don't let all of that, you know, determine, you know, what we give on the court, you know, night in, night out. So, I mean, it's just been, you know, unbelievable to even see that. And, you know, with UConn coming up, our coaches are, you know, they've been wanting this. We've been wanting this since last year, since we lost to them last year. Like, we wanted to see every team you know, that we took an L to and give them back to them, you know. So it's been you know, a great, you know, week. We've been watching film. We've been, you know, locking in on what we need to do. I mean, we know what we got to do. I mean, I feel like we're going to handle that.
Well, Nick, first off, congratulations. Really do appreciate the time today. Your energy and seeing the way that you guys celebrated after the game was a whole lot of fun. Dancing with the elephant, you got the hard hat too. You were really enjoying yourself, as you should game.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I really lose myself in the game. Like, I didn't even, you know, realize I won the hard hat. You know, the way Jaren played, you know, the way Mark played. Like, I mean, I didn't even know. I just, you know, going out there and playing and giving my all. I mean, that's all that matters to me. You know, no awards, no nothing on the stat sheet. You know, whatever, you know, satisfy me. So, you know, just going out there and doing the dirty work and doing what I got to do for my team to win, whether that's setting screens, you know, getting the best shooter open, passing, anything, like whatever contributes to my team winning, I'm willing to do.
I know the hard hat is a tradition that Coach Oates gives out after every game. I saw a WWE like championship belt. Was that just for that one, or has that been something going on all throughout the year? Because I saw you rocking the belt.
I think Roland mentioned his experience being similar to Brock Lesnar being Undertaker in WrestleMania. So they, I think the football sent us, you know, the belt, and they let us have a good time with it.
That's awesome. Well, hey, good luck. Congratulations so far. And thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today.
Thank you. I appreciate you, man.
You got it. There he is, Nick Pringle. Wow. Really energetic. Awesome appearance. Enjoy his time with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And seeing the celebration after the game. I love that. That dude knows how to party, man. He went right over to the student section. He's dancing with the elephant for Alabama. That was fun. That was really good. And then, man, got the hard hat, is walking around with the WWE championship belt. Now, who would have thought this Final Four, seriously? I feel like we say this each and every year. You know, UConn, you could see it, obviously. They're the team to beat. Everyone expected them to get here. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, UConn had a tough draw to start off the tournament. Remember all that nonsense that we were talking about with all the number one seeds? Purdue, I know that the last few years they have come up short in this tournament, but no one should be surprised that Purdue is here. Alabama and NC State, those are the two surprising schools. I really thought Alabama was going to lose in the first round of the tournament. I really did, because I did not like the way that team was playing at the end of the season. And when you back yourself into a corner and you have some adversity, you see how people respond. And the way that this team has responded has been marvelous. And then NC State, what else can we say about them? Like, seriously. 17-14. And I know, right, they've won... You know, they won it all before, right? You had the great moment of Jimmy V. I know that they're in the ACC and all that stuff, and they don't feel like a traditional Cinderella, but they are a Cinderella. You know, I get it. You're not George Mason. You're not Loyola Chicago. You go through all these schools that have won on these great runs throughout the year, Florida Gulf Coast and VCU and on and on and on. But if they played in, like, a conference that wasn't the ACC, that wasn't the Big Ten, that wasn't the SEC— Everyone absolutely be saying NC State's. They were 17-14 going into their conference tournament. Their coach is about to get fired. Fired. And now he's a 2-year extension because they won the ACC tournament. And it's amazing because I asked that to Kevin Keats when he joined us, why they haven't lost their legs. And then when they got all this rest, you wondered from the end of the round of 32 into the Sweet 16 if they would lose some of that momentum, but they've never lost their momentum in this tournament. And you look at the four teams remaining. UConn is obviously the big bad beast, all right? They're the team that everyone's trying to slay, and they're the bully, and they're the great team. Alabama, it is amazing to see how so many transfers have been able to survive ups and downs this year, and even when this is not the best quote-unquote Alabama team, it's the team that's gone the farthest in program history. NC State, you think of DJ Burns. And then Purdue, it's the Painter-Edie relationship as well. So even though this has not been the greatest storyline tournament, we now enter the last four teams remaining with some pretty damn cool storylines. All righty, we'll wrap up the show. When we return, we'll come on back and we'll reset the big poll question of the day. Who do you got tonight? Is it Caitlin Clark of Iowa or is it Angel Reese out of LSU? Go Tigers! We'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Update time. Here's the Ackman.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.